Welcome back to the Voices of Women Summit, where in honor of International Women's Day 2023, we are raising the voices of hundreds of women so that their messages can be heard. Your host for this session is Kimberly Crow. Kimberly is the founder of Entrepreneurs Rocket Fuel and Speakers Playhouse, as well as the creator of the Voices of Women Summits. She has another amazing guest coming right up. Take it away, Kimberly.
Well, hey folks, it's Kimberly Crow, and I am so glad that you joined me for this session. This is a really important session to me. The reason that I did this session is because I am very, very proud to be able to share, be doing the next two sessions. This one is with Judith Crow. You may recognize the last name. And the next one is with Bridget, whom you may know. Judith Crow is actually my mom. She is joining us today, but she is not joining us live. This is a recording. And we're going to be displaying it. She did an amazing job. She's an artist. She was a teacher. She is a doctor in education technology, and she's got a whole history of amazing accomplishments. But sometimes as entrepreneurs and as women, we don't really know when we're finished because we just pick up the next thing and start doing more, right? So we're going to have Judith be able to share with us a little bit about the secrets to being able to know when you are finished with something. And we're going to do it by sharing her expertise on art. So speaking of art, if you would share your screen, that would be great. And we will get started. Hello, ladies and gentlemen. We are back. I am super excited today. I am bringing to you one of my favorite women in the entire universe. This is Judith Crow. She is my mom and a huge inspiration for me. She is bringing to you one of my favorite women in the entire universe. This is Judith Crow. She is my mom and a huge inspiration for me. She is of many, many things. She's been my mom. She's been a teacher. She's been a world traveler. She's been on boats. She's done all kinds of amazing things in her lifetime. And today we're actually going to be talking about one of her passions in life, which is art. She has been an artist in the Thousand Oaks area for many, many years, and she is an award-winning artist. So welcome to the program, Judith.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, we're delighted to have you, and I'm really glad that you agreed to do this with us today, because there's so much about the art world that people sometimes shy away from. They think of art in like museums or things that, you know, that it's very difficult to achieve mastery at it. And you have brought art to the world in such a really powerful way by teaching it at various different levels. When you were teaching, you taught it to fourth graders. I know that when you volunteered in classrooms, you taught it to even kindergartners, but then you also teach people who are PhDs. So it's sort of a wide realm of folks that can learn to do art at any age. Is that right?
Oh, yes, that's very true. It's just a matter of taking a class or having some fun sketching or whatever works for you.
Well, you became passionate about art at a very early age, and there's a great story about how you learned to do art and how you took your very first class. Would you like to share that?
Oh, yes. My first class, I had an aunt and uncle who were artists. And when they married and moved near our town, they decided to give me art lessons, not themselves. They wanted to send me to an art teacher that was near them in a little town not far away. And so I believe I was 5 years old, and I got on a bus at the Four Corners, someplace in Connecticut. And the bus driver kept an eye on me, I guess. And I went to the little city near us, and I got off and I went to my art teacher place and I did some drawings and things like that. And then my grandfather would come down and pick me up around noontime and take me back home. So I had a series of those art classes. And then Uncle John and Aunt Dottie always gave me art materials to work with and to play with. It was fun.
Now your aunt, Uncle John and Dottie, they were both artists themselves?
Yes, they met in the Army during World War II. And after they left the Army, they took advantage of the GI Bill and went to school. And he became a photographer and she did more visual art. She actually was well known in later years when they lived in Hawaii. She did a lot of Chinese brush painting, and I still have some of their work in my house now. Very talented people.
Well, wonderful. So what did you start with? Because there's so many different medium of art that you've worked with. And all of it is what we would call frameable art. It is not art that is sort of sculpture. What's the difference between those two things? How are they defined in medium? Where there's one that hangs on the wall and there's one that sort of is like pottery and stuff like that, that people call art. How do you define the difference between those two?
Well, I think it's basically two-dimensional and three-dimensional, what we're talking about. But then there's also, I mean, look at the artists who do placement of objects in a city or in a river or something like that. And look at the performance artists. And some artists gather stuff, junk, people would call it, and put it together. And they've created a little space where people can look at it and enjoy it or not, cast aspersions at it, whatever they do.
I love that. Really interesting concept. All right. So if I were to start two-dimensional painting in a class of yours, what kinds of medium would we work in? I know there's you've worked in watercolor previously. What other kinds of medium might we work in?
Well, I started with watercolors when you moved to California many years ago, and I enjoyed them. And later on, I changed to pastel. I went to a pastel show in Ojai, and I loved the work that they were doing there. And so I eventually became part of a studio group, an atelier, as it were, in Ojai. And I would go there every week, once a week, and work with other pastel artists and our mentor, Bert Collins. And so I did that for a number of years. And then I was doing classes and workshops of my own. And I found that if I did an all-day workshop, this was after, say, 15 years of doing pastels. If I did an all-day workshop, I would get very sniffy in the middle of the day, and then I'd be coughing. And so I believed that I became allergic to the dust from the pastels, because I was using stick pastels. And so I switched to colored pencils, and they're very clean, obviously, and they can work in small spaces. You can do colored pencil art at your kitchen table and then pick up your pencils or keep them in tubes or whatever and pick them up, and you don't need a studio, you don't need solvents, although we use them sometimes. So I really enjoyed that kind of work. It's very slow. I can make a pastel painting in probably an hour.
Wow.
Colored pencil will take more like 20 hours, but it's it's enjoyable. It's somewhat contemplative or meditation-ish. People say that they enjoy it, but they feel very relaxed when they're finished with a piece. And now, yes, I'm teaching classes. I start some classes in a week. And what I really enjoy is color pencil. It takes so long to complete, but I'm able to teach people how to create a piece in 2 hours.
And that's amazing, because I would think that if you were taking a class, learning from
to a lot of people.
Yes, if you were taking a class, learning from the teacher all the different aspects and figuring out how to do something and learning, it seems surprising that you could finish a piece that quickly. Is that and yet you have your students being able to do that? Is that right?
That is right. Some of them want to take a little longer. They like working at a slower pace, or they'll take it home and work on it at home and send me, you know, pictures via email or whatever. But many people finish within the 2 hour time frame. And it's exciting. I like
that's
to see
exciting
that.
And amazing that you can do that. And are they all learning? Have you only taught other people in colored pencil, or have you taught in other medium as well?
Oh, I taught pastels. I taught acrylics, oils, kind of thing. But my favorites for a long time, for 15 years, were pastels, because they're fast. And but then they're hard to frame because they're dusty. You have to have a glass and everything else. So when I got sniffly over my pastels, I moved to colored pencil. And one thing about both of those media, take color. I have about 200 colored pencils.
Wow.
And so you don't have to mix as much color as you do with acrylics or oils or watercolor. You reach out and you blend, you layer one color over another, and you work that way with both pastels and colored pencils. So I'm a little spoiled that way. I like to reach for a color and put a couple of them together, but I am moving away from trying to mix colors on a palette.
All right. Well, I can see that just being able to pick up the exact color that you need rather than try to mix and get the color and then come back later and try to get the same color. I can see that would be very appealing, is just to grab the pencil that you want. Do you sometimes find that you need to combine two colors in order to make that work exactly the way that you want it to do?
Always.
Yeah.
Always. I don't think I think if I were doing a coloring book, and I took a bright blue and used it, that would work. But in creating a pastel painting or a colored pencil painting, and they're called paintings if you cover the entire surface. That's, people might say it's drawing, and it can be if you just draw, you know, a portrait or something like that. But if you cover the entire surface with color, then it's a painting. So for both of those, I have to choose several colors and blend them. It's not as if you don't ever have to mix. It's just that you have a whole lot of different colors to mix with.
All right. Well, if it's okay with you, I have you actually have a website. I have your website up on, and may I share it so that people can see some of the works that you've done?
Yes, that would be fine. it's not been refreshed for a while.
Well, maybe you can tell us some of the differences between some of these pages. So this one looks like a lot of landscapes. And what medium is this in?
These are all pastels. Love the water.
Yes.
And then, they are mostly landscapes. and they move quickly. Do scroll down to Color Me Wild. That's one of my favorites.
Yes, we've got that on the screen now. It is absolutely beautiful. This is a picture of a lion, and it's just so gripping. There's so much movement in it. You say that this is 2D, but that feels very 3D to me.
I can't see it fully on my screen, but what tickled me about this one was that I was working with other pastel artists up in Ojai. There we go. And it took me just 20 minutes. And
oh my God,
people said, stop, you're finished. It's ready to frame. And it was, it actually got a first place award in a show after that. But it was so amazing that here's a completed piece of work that took 20 minutes. Well, we actually have to say it took 55 years and 20 minutes.
I love that expression where, you know, people say, how long did this take you to make? And sometimes it's 20 minutes.
Uh-huh.
Really, it's 55 years because it took that many years to be able to make that happen. All right. So then you have other pieces over here. This one's beautiful with this lace. How is this done?
With the?
The lace. Oh, sorry. The mold cider with the lace.
Oh, with the, the lace doily hanging down. That's colored pencil.
Wow.
Everything on this page is colored pencil. And what I particularly like is working on dark backgrounds.
See,
the cat is on black paper, and so is the champagne pouring. I love working on dark colors.
That is phenomenal. I really love how you capture that. So the whole paper that you're working on is dark and you're adding the light. Is that correct?
That is true. That's
wow.
True. Yeah.
That's fascinating. All right. And then here's another one. This one looks like these are still lifes, but these are flowers and like objects that would be close as opposed to landscapes. Are these all done in colored pencil or is there a mix here as well?
Yes. These are all colored pencil. Yes.
That's amazing. Yep. When you talk about I'm working with pencils, people don't imagine that you can come up with something like this golden eagle or this swan.
Yes.
It's so beyond what anybody would think of when they pull out a set of colored pencils that you can create something so beautiful.
Yeah. Yes. Now you've come to tea time, which is one of my all-time favorites. I wish I could teach that in every class, but people have taken the class. We did one. The first one I did was just the white on the brown, and it turned out to, and we didn't add color to it. And I was intrigued by that, so I kept it, and then I started another one that I added the color to. So both of them, wouldn't you love that for a little thank you note to a friend?
Oh, like on a little card, printed on a card. Yes, I would. I wouldn't think a thank you note is something that you would frame, but this is something that you could reprint on a card or something like that. I love that idea.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. There's so much richness in these pieces and so much detail without being overly complicated, right? It's something that's pleasing to the eye and relaxing to look at without having to try to figure a lot of stuff out. I really enjoy your pieces here. Thank you so much for sharing them with us. It is something that is intimidating to many people, and I love the way that you are able to just bring it to any age and have them be able to be successful at it. What are some of the younger students doing right now, and what are some of your older students doing right now, and what kind of age group do you work with?
They do very similar things. I've had, it's just that, say, a boy of 8 or 9 doesn't really want to do a vase of flowers. So you have to look for a variety of subjects. One of the things that the easiest to do is underwater pictures, because you can use a whole lot of aquas and pretty pictures, and nobody knows whether the fish are really there or not. You can take them from other places and add them in and add some weeds and light coming down, and it's kind of magical. And the, I know my landscapes are the same. You don't have to make it exactly. In fact, you're better off not making it exactly like the photograph that you took of the landscape. You want to look at, you know, the colors and the design and you know, make it your own. And nobody is going to take a photo of it and come back and say you made a mistake. Portraits are more difficult. But if you're doing a characterization, and his body is so French, but if I'm doing a portrait of a real person, that's much more challenging.
I can imagine. Yes. I think if I were to start and just go to sort of an art store and grab some things and learn online, what would you recommend for a medium that was easiest to be able to pick up? Would it be colored pencils or should they start in watercolors similar to where you did?
That's a difficult question. A good one. Mostly, I would suggest starting with drawing, just taking a drawing class online and using that, or taking one from a continuing education class or a local park district or whatever, museum, would be to take a drawing class, because you can get shadings and all kinds of work done that way. And then some people would move to watercolor, some people might move to colored pencil. Colored pencil for me right now is the cleanest and easiest way to go, because I can have my studio here and I can take my colored pencils and I can put them in little containers.
Oh my!
And they're attached to a little board, and that's so I have two of those. These are the cool colors, and I also have more colors on the other side. And then I can sit at the table and put the paper in front of me, and I have all my pencils at my fingertips.
Well, so, this is fantastic.
Because they're so dynamic, you can get all, you know, your fingernails don't get clean until the next morning when you wash your hair. But they're fast. And they're...
Well, I like what you said about the Alion picture that was Color Me Wild, where you said people said it's you're done. Do people sometimes overthink their art? When do you know that a picture is done?
It's very helpful to have other people say, I think that's ready to that it's done. And I found, like with the tea party, the tea thing, that I did one all in whites on brown paper, and I didn't want to add color. I liked it the way it was. And so I started and I did another one, putting all the white down and then adding color to it. But as far as a piece being done, it's like a piece of writing. A piece of writing isn't finished, it's just published. And a piece of art isn't completed or done. It's just framed or sent to a friend or whatever.
Well, that is a wonderful way to look at for art and your work and your life. I love that very much. All right. Well, we have another amazing guest coming right up, ladies and gentlemen. This has been a delight to be with you, Judith. I truly appreciate you coming on and carving time out of your day to be with us. Before we let you go, do you have any final words for our audience?
No. Oh, just have a lot of fun with whatever you're doing.
Wow, those are words to live by, ladies and gentlemen, because you know my motto is if it's not fun, it's not worth doing. So absolutely, art would be worth doing. Just keep it fun. All right, ladies and gentlemen, I'm Kimberly Crowe. We'll see you next time. Cheers. All right, ladies and gentlemen, that's it. We will see you back at the top of the hour. That was a lot of fun for me to watch. It was absolutely a delight to share my amazing mother with you. And next, I'm going to share my amazing daughter with you. I can't wait. We'll see you at the top of the hour. Cheers.
Thank you for joining us for another amazing session of the Voices of Women Summit, where our mission is to raise the voices of hundreds of women so their messages can be heard. For recordings of all sessions, plus an amazing VIP gift bundle, upgrade to VIP now. If you have any questions or problems during the summit, email our support team at support@voicesofwomensummit.com. Stay tuned. We have another fantastic speaker coming right up.